Please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14 in the Old Testament. I flew down here late Sunday night, early Monday morning actually, when I got in. And there at that other meeting for a couple of days. And just thrilled to be with you here. I love Worth Baptist Church. Amen. Don't y'all? Yes. Y'all. Yeah. I am from the South. I gave up all those words that are not really words that I'd learned up there in Lightning Bug Holler. That's where it came from. Lightning Bug Holler. We did not have good grammar in Lightning Bug Holler, you know. So I had to give up a lot of words that were not really words, but I held on fiercely to y'all. And Brother Weaver, it's great to see you back there. I just appreciate you so very much. God bless you. In 25 years, wonderful. I'm glad about that. And this Sunday is going to be a wonderful time. And Pastor Gillett, you're doing a good job. I'm so thankful for our pastor, how God has led, given us these wonderful pastors. Praise God for pastors. I've got a pastor. Pastor Greg Gray is my pastor. I'm sent out of Calvary Baptist Church in Smithfield, Virginia. And I do go about the country preaching and doing what I can to try to stand in the gap. That's what all of us need to do. All of us got a little light, and we need to let it shine, shouldn't we? Like that song says. Well, I brought some CDs back here. I believe Christian homes ought to have Christian music in them. I don't need help sinning, do you? I need help living the Christian life. And good Christian music will help you. That song, Safely Home, it's in this little CD pack. There's actually two CDs in there. It's 30 songs and live orchestra. And that's not just me singing. I'm singing two or three solos here. But there's lots of quartets and a variety of good music. You'll love that. And then we're trying to reach the children. Somebody's going to reach the children here. Somebody in Texas is going to reach all the children. It needs to be the church. Every home needs to be a Christian home, and every church should be reaching children for God and teaching them the truth. Have you noticed the truth has fallen in the streets in our country? And I'll tell you how to destroy a country. How do you destroy a country? Well, don't tell the children anything about God, and we'll destroy, ruin the country. And that's about where we are. And so a few years ago, the Lord led us to put scripture to music. What's learned in song is remembered long. I remember little songs, A, B, C, D. I can still sing that, you know. Learn my alphabet to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Put those alphabet. Well, we put the scriptures, and there's seven different volumes of that, and there's a variety of CDs out there. Miss Stephanie will help you. There's just a few CDs, maybe 20 or 25 left, and they're just any size donation. You ready for the Bible now?
Yes.
Here it comes. Joshua chapter 14. Let's look what the Bible has for us tonight. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him. All right, so here is Caleb speaking to God's appointed leader, Joshua. Caleb's talking to Joshua. And Caleb, they're both old men now. And Caleb says, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Whew, that's quite a speech. This was Caleb speaking to Joshua. Well, how did Joshua react to that? Well, in verse 13, and Joshua blessed him. Come here, Caleb. I want to bless you, friend. Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I title tonight's sermon, this little message from the Bible, this message from the Word of God. I titled it, An Old Soldier's Request. And I've only got three little points tonight, and I'm going to get right into it. Point number one, and may I say that I'm a little bit astounded at point number one. If you've only got 3 points to this sermon, I'm just a little surprised what point one is. But here it is. Number one, Caleb's age. The age of Caleb is making a point in this sermon tonight. Why? Well, because the Bible emphasizes it, and because Caleb himself is emphasizing. He's 85 years old. Praise God to get to live to be 85 years old. You know, my dad is 87 years old. Every day I'm in town, I try to stop by and talk with him a moment or two. He just lives a few moments from me. And I still play checkers with him, and I try to get him confused so I can win and all that kind of stuff. You shouldn't do that, but you know. No, it's my turn, Dad. And my mom is 89. My mom used to be very shy about her age. She didn't want you to know how old she was. But now that she's 89, friend, she wants everybody to know how old she is. My next birthday, I'll be 90. She says, I've still got my driver's license. She never drives, but she has her driver's license, you know. She always Pop drives, and he gets a lot of good coaching from Mom. Oh, they're so much fun. All of our kids and grandchild, they all love Papa and Nana. They're so special. And I'm so glad they're still alive at 87 and 89 years old. They mean the world to me. You know, it's not just how you start, it's how you finish that counts too. And this man, Caleb, he served God a long time. And listen, whatever age you are, you need to be serving God. In fact, everybody in the room, breathe in right now. Breathe in and breathe out. Well, if you can still do that, God has something for you to do. You're not too old. There's something you can do. It's a remarkable thing that Caleb got to live to be this old. I was getting ready for tonight. I read through this passage about 50 to 75 times, and I got thinking about just different things. I got thinking about Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. I was looking at him in the encyclopedia recently. And, you know, he and Nathaniel Hawthorne, they graduated college at the same time. And on their 50th graduation, on the 50th college reunion of their graduation, they're older gentlemen now. This is their 50th reunion. 50 years after graduating college at Bowdoin College. Well, they ask Longfellow to write a poem for the occasion. So he did. And he wrote a poem entitled Moratori Salimutis. Wow. What does that mean? Well, it's Latin meaning we who are about to die salute the next group. Yeah. And the poem goes, but why, you ask me, should this tale be told? To men grown old, or who are growing old, it is too late. Some would say it is too late. But it's not too late till the tired heart shall cease to palpitate. That's pretty good. I've never gotten the word palpitate into a poem, have you? That's pretty good. And he goes on and he talks about Cato learning Greek when he's 80 years old. And he just goes down a number of different men through the ages that in their later years got things accomplished. I've got myself a little list here. Galileo, that incomparable scientist, he discovered the libration of the moon when he was 75. That great philosopher, Kant, K-A-N-T, he wrote several of his greatest works when he was in his 70s. Verdi, the opera composer, opera. Nessun dorma, nessun dorma, tu purio print. You can't understand a word of that stuff. Can you? It's all Italian. Well, Verdi, he wrote operas and so forth. He wrote his most famous opera when he was 80. Oliver Wendell Holmes, on the Supreme Court when he's 92. Emerson, writing some of his best essays in his 70s. Tennyson wrote Crossing the Bar when he's 83. Titian, that incomparable painter. Oh, he painted his most famous painting when he's 98. And then I thought about this man, one of my heroes, Colonel Sanders. Yeah. You know, he was in his late 60s when he got that fried chicken franchise going. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, we're getting response from the crowd now. Yes. Yeah, finger licking good. You know, he got saved as an older man, Colonel Sanders did. Praise God. I'm glad he got saved. Every man needs to get saved. Every lady needs to get saved. I'm telling you tonight that Caleb, now he's 85 years old. And some people, I don't know, they just kind of quit serving God. They quit taking another step with the Lord. Now look. Physically, you're not going to be able to do things that you did earlier in life when you get old. My dad can barely walk. He used to do one-arm pull-ups. I've seen all that stuff, but he can't do that now. You know what he did the other day? He got him two cases of Bibles so he could get them given out to everybody in his neighborhood. He brings them in so he can talk to them about the Bible. He's not a preacher. In fact, he didn't finish school. He can barely read. But he's so interested in people getting saved. He worked the bus ministry. Hallelujah. Every dad ought to be like that. And I'm seeing my dad become a better Christian with every passing year. And that's the way it ought to be. Amen. You don't become a mature Christian in the first week. You don't grow a squash in one day. It takes a few days. But you don't grow the mighty oak tree for many years. And old Caleb, he's been serving God a long time now. You know, when he was 40, he was there at the Promised Land and they sent in those spies. He went in. He came back with the report. And the people's heart melted. They didn't believe old Caleb. They didn't believe old Joshua. Both Joshua and Caleb said, we need to go in there and take it because God has promised it to us. The other 10 said, we can't do it. It cannot be done. Now, the Bible says, with God all things are possible. Amen. Is that true? Jesus walked by that little paralyzed man. Jesus walked by that little paralyzed man and said, arise and walk. Lord Jesus, don't you know a paralyzed man can't walk? That man walked that day. Because with God all things are possible. And so they wandered out there in the wilderness. The nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And everybody over 20 died. Except this fella Caleb and that fella Joshua. Oh, Joshua, I like him too, don't you? Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, long time ago, ho, ho, ho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came a-tumbling down. Well, you can talk about your men of Gideon. You can talk about your men of Saul. There ain't none like good old Joshua and the battle of Jericho. Oh, I like the song, don't y'all? And I like Joshua, and I like Caleb. And now they're older gentlemen. They're older soldiers. There's warriors. You know what I have to tell myself sometimes? Because I get weary. I get tired. There's a lot of work to be done. And some mornings I look in that mirror and I say, now Byron Fox, you're a soldier. Quit pouting around and get up and get something done. I give myself a little talk, you know. And so Caleb's age, he's 85, but he's not making any excuses about that. He's still serving God. Point number two, Caleb's heritage. Caleb's heritage. I'm going to read verse 6, and when I pause, I want you to do your best to say the next word out loud. Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the... Oh, he is a Kenizzite. Well, I told you, I read through this passage over and over and over trying to get some truth to give in the sermon. I was really trying to get some truth. Don't read the Bible just for facts. Read the Bible to get the truth of it. Get the truth. Buy the truth, the scripture says. So I'm reading it over and over and over, and I've read this passage, I don't know, a lot. And it finally dawned on me to ask the question, what is a Kenizzite? Now maybe you already know, but I didn't know. But I noticed that every time I'm seeing Joshua and Caleb, I see, oh, Caleb the Kenizzite, Caleb the Kenizzite, Caleb the Kenizzite. Finally, I said, I wonder what a Kenizzite is. Well, remember a fellow named Esau? Jacob and Esau. Now, Jacob, he was a conniver, a deceiver, but he got right with God. But old Esau, now there's many commendable things about old Esau. He was a manly fellow. He forgave his little cheating brother. He's strong. There's something terrible about it, something tragic about old Esau. He left God out of his life. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. It's awful to leave God out of your life. And Esau, how long has he been in hell now? 4,000 years? There's no hope for old Esau. Well, he had descendants. And somehow these Kenizzites are mixed in with those Edomites and the descendants of Esau. You study the book of Genesis and so forth. Bottom line, listen, bottom line, Caleb's not a Jew. Wait a minute. You mean Caleb's not a Hebrew? No, no, he's a Kenizzite. Every time we see it, Caleb the Kenizzite, Caleb the Kenizzite, Caleb the Kenizzite. He's not a Jew. But wait a minute. When it came time for all the tribes to choose their best man to go in there and spy out the land. Naphtali, who are you going to send? This is our man right here. Asher, who are you going to send? Here's our man. Judah, who are you going to send? We're going to send our good man Caleb. Oh yeah, Caleb the Kenizzite. Yeah, so Caleb's the prince of Judah and he's not a Jew. How could that be? I'm going to tell you how. The way that this man got so involved with this and became the prince of the tribe of Judah. Here's how it happened. He converted. When it dawned on me, finally, I'm praying, saying, Lord, how is this? Finally, it dawned on me, he's a convert. He converted in from that other group, the Kenizzites, because now the Kenizzites, they were a bunch of pagans. They're a bunch of terrorists. They're cruel people. They're caught up in false religion. They're just like all those Canaanites over there. You know, they're going into the promised land, all those Canaanites, which the Canaanites is a big demographic with all the Girgashites and Amorites and Jebusites and Electricalites and Termites and all those ites over there, you know. And, yeah, a bunch of ites over there. And they're a bunch of pagans. And this man, wait a minute, Caleb got in the family of God. And I mean, he got with it. He trusted God. He followed God. He's a convert. Man, when I realized that, my heart began to leap with joy. I said, that's who I am. I'm a convert. I was over there in the devil's crowd, and by the grace of God, 12 churches about like this, they came together, rented out the baseball stadium, and they brought me to that meeting, and a preacher got up and preached the gospel. The first night I was there, he preached on hell. I wanted to get saved. Somebody talked me out of it. By the grace of God, I was back the next night and he preached on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I came down that baseball stadium, the bleachers, and I got saved. Praise God. Amen. Oh yeah, I got converted. I got out of the devil's family and I got into God's family. Whoo, I like being in God's family. Don't you? Amen. Oh, there's no family like God's family. And old Caleb, he's a convert. His heritage. I don't know what your heritage is. I could tell you a little bit about ours. And it's not all good. It's not. It's not. But I'm not going to tell you about all that. I can tell you my mom and dad and I love God. And my family, I mean our family overall, we're trying to serve God. We've got a few in the family we're still working on. But my mom's a lady of prayer now. Amen to that. I remember at the service where my dad came and the preacher called my dad out by name. Don't you want to get right with God? And my dad said yes. I've rarely seen a preacher do that. In fact, I'd never seen my preacher do that, but he did it to my dad that day. Hallelujah. And my dad said, yes. Amen. I don't know what your background is. As far as your heritage, I don't even know what you may have done. The first person I ever led to Christ, I had a deacon with me. And I'd went down this road knocking on the doors and asking folk to come to my class and a Sunday school teacher. These two ladies, they were neighbors across from each other. They came to my class. And I gave an invitation in my class. They didn't get saved. In this morning service, the preacher preached and gave the gospel in the message and gave invitation. They didn't get saved. The next night, by the grace of God, on Monday evening with one of the deacons, I went to their homes. One was not home, but the other one was. And I spoke with Wanda that night. I said, oh, Wanda, yesterday you didn't receive Christ. Wanda, why didn't you receive Christ? She said, oh, Mr. Fox, you don't know how bad I am. You just don't know how bad I am. And she started to tell me. I said, oh, don't tell me. Don't tell me. I said, I don't want to know. I don't want to know about everybody's sin. I said, I don't want to know. I said, but Wanda, I've got some news for you. God already knows about all your sin. And God has had me come tonight to tell you, you can be saved. You can receive Christ. And though I'd been trying to win souls for 6 years, I'd never led one person to Christ until that night. And Wanda received Christ as her Savior. Even though she thought she was too bad to get saved, no one's too bad to be saved. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Because he who knew no sin became sin for us. Hallelujah. Boy, I got back in the car with that deacon. I got to shouting and glorifying. We had to pull over the side of the road. You know what I'm saying? I got happy in the Lord. Amen. I don't know what your background is. Caleb's background, probably not that good. But he got in the family of God. Number one, Caleb's age. Number two, Caleb's heritage. And then we come to the last little point here. Caleb's request. Yeah, he makes a request here in verse number 12. He says to Joshua, now therefore, look at it, verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain. That's his request. I want that mountain there. For 40 years, I wandered out there in the wilderness. I came back over here when I was 80. And for 5 years, I've been fighting all these battles alongside of everybody else. And now I'm 85 years old, Joshua. And I want my mountain. Moses said I could have it, and I want it. Well, Joshua said, you can have it. Well, thank you very much. How do I get it? Oh, here's how you get your gift. Just go over there and take it. Yeah, there's still giants over there. They're still behind walls. They're still wanting to kill you, man. But yeah, it's yours. All you got to do is go and take it. What kind of gift is that? Last year, about this time of the year, the city council down there in DeBary, Florida. Down in DeBary, D-E-B-A-R-R-Y, DeBary, Florida, town of 6,000. The mayor and the city council came to Pastor Jake Samples, Grace Baptist Church. They came over there, made an appointment with the preacher, and came in and said, Pastor, we'd like to ask something of you. So, Pastor Samples, you're doing a great job in our city. And Pastor Samples, we noticed that July the 4th is on a Sunday this year. Last year, July the 4th was on a Sunday. And so they said, Pastor Samples, would you consider doing a citywide service for all the children in our city? Well, Pastor Samples said, we'd be glad to do that. Oh, yeah. Well, now, Pastor Samples, we want you to do it in the park if we can. If it's good weather, we'd like to do it in the park. If not, we'll come over here to your church building. But if it's good weather, we'd like to have it. He said, yes, we'll be happy to do that. Yes, we'll do that. He's a young pastor. He'd been a pastor for 3 years. And so after he agreed to it, he got his phone out and he called me. He said, "Hey, Brother Fox." And he told me all about it. He said, "Brother Fox, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Yes, sir, Pastor Samples." He said, "Brother Fox." I said, "Yes." "And Brother Fox, how do I do this?" You know? I said, oh, that's easy. I said, "I've done some of these things." I said, "You got to buy some bicycles." And I said, "You start taking them around town." Said, "Hey, July the 4th, we're having a service over there in that park. And some boys and girls are going to win some of these bicycles. We're going to have a bunch of bicycles to give away. Take them around town." I said, "Then you got to make some games and some Americana stuff." And you know, well, they came up with all kind of things. That congregation, man, they threw themselves into it. Before I knew it, they called me and said, "We've raised $15,000. We're buying stuff. And we've invented this game called Johnny Appleseed Toss." He said, "Now, Brother Fox, it looks a lot like cornhole, but it's Johnny Appleseed Toss, you know." And they had that George Washington throwing the coin across. They came up with ideas. And Pastor Sample said, "Now, we want 2,000 of those Bible Stories for Kids CDs." Said "We want our church name on it and church address on the back, and we want to give them to every child, because before they knew it, they was expecting 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people to come." And they gave these to all the children. They gave them to them. Just gave them to them. Now that's how you normally think about a gift. Just give it to you. In this passage, Joshua said, "You can have it. Just got to go over there and take it." And we say, "What kind of gift is that?" Hey, friends, this is the way God works. Are you listening? This is the way God works. Now look, salvation, that first step of salvation, completely free. Priceless, but completely free. No one in this room earned your salvation, did you? No, it's a free gift. It's a priceless gift. Jesus gave his life for it. That first step. But now, wait just a minute. These disciples, they got saved. And then Jesus came and said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." He gave them a job description. "Here's your job description. Follow me." He didn't tell them everything, did he? He just said, "Follow me." And they started taking their next step. You know what it says? It says this in the Bible. They forsook all. You mean you're going to leave your family business of fishing? Yeah. You're going to leave your boats? Men love their boats. Yeah, but I'm following Jesus. It'll cost you. It'll cost you to become a mature believer. It'll cost. All the disciples gave their lives in the cause of Christ. You study their lives. All of them martyred except John. Even old Doubting Thomas, he gave his life. John, they boiled him in oil. They boiled John in oil. He survived. They put him over there on the Isle of Patmos. Yeah, we'll put him over there all by himself. He wasn't by himself. The Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. But it'll cost you. Hey, Caleb, it's going to cost you. But there's your gift. Go take it. You know what Caleb did? With God's hand on him, Caleb went over there and took that mountain. Oh, his background, being part of a group of terrorists as far as the Kenizzites and pagans, all that. Yeah. That was his heritage. His legacy was a lot different, wasn't it? See, it was a blessing to all of his descendants, his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, just right on down the line, have been blessed because old Caleb came, that old soldier came, said, "I've got a request. I want my mountain." All right. So I've been thinking on how to apply this wonderful passage. That's a wonderful passage, isn't it? So how do we apply that tonight here at Worth Baptist Church? Well, Caleb knew exactly what he wanted. He wanted the mountain. So men in this room, men, all the men, if you could ask something of God tonight, what would you ask God? Because over and over in this Bible, you know what it says? Jesus keeps saying this as far as prayer. Jesus keeps saying, ask. We're encouraging the Bible, ask. So what would the men of this church want to ask for? Our pastor might, right this moment, say, Lord, I'd like you to give me this city for Christ. That might have been what came to his mind. Some of you good men may be saying, Lord, I'd like you to give me my co-worker for Christ. I want to lead him to Christ. Some of you men, it may be your neighbor. Might be family members. It might be about this Easter service coming up. Some folk that you... Everybody stand, please. Everyone stand. I want our pianist to come and play the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And I want all the men that want to come up here right now, just come on. All the men that would want to come up here and stand and ask God for something, I want you to come now. Just the men right now. Now, ladies, I want you to ask God from your seat. But men, come up here and ask the Lord for something. As God leads you. Now, don't ask for something foolish. But ask something noble. And right, you can kneel if you wish. What would you like to ask God for? Don't you have something on your heart tonight? You want to say, Lord, here's my prayer request. Dear God, oh Lord, my brother's lost. You know I've been trying to lead him to you. Please, God, help me. I don't know what it might be. What is it? Your bus route. Your choir. Your Sunday school class. Your finances that you get to give more than you've ever given before. Lord, I'd like to have the biggest giving year I've ever had. Would you help me do that? What is it you'd like to ask God for? Now, if you're not saved, I know what you need to ask for. You need to ask Jesus Christ to save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Our pastor's going to come. He's going to keep talking to us. I want you to listen to him, please.